8:09 the time. Absolutely gorgeous day here in Laguna Beach. It's a Tuesday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show, and we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks. It's been all over the news that the current DA, Todd Spitzer, is facing multiple allegations of illegal actions, of racism and sexism, an evidence booking scandal. He's lost key endorsements. Attorneys have been filing ethics complaints against him. In to talk to us about that and how exactly you fix this problem is candidate for the office of Orange County District Attorney. And with just, 98 days until the June election, we welcome in for the conversation this morning, Pete Hardin. Thank you for coming in today, Pete.
Good morning, Ed. Good to see you again.
Great to see you as well. How are you?
Outstanding. Beautiful Orange County day. Glad to be spending the morning with you.
Thank you. Thank you for not getting stuck at the beach, because it's so beautiful out there. When people walk into the studio, it's like, oh, yeah, I spent a few minutes just staring at the ocean. Thank you so much. Pete, you're a former judge advocate in the U.S. Marine Corps, a deputy district attorney, special assistant to the United States attorney, and you're really one of the leading litigators here in Southern California. As you run for this office, it seems to be in shambles. The Orange County District Attorney's Office is facing three or four different scandals. Let's talk about right now. Let's talk about them individually, if you would. When discussing a death penalty case involving a black man, he commented that black men advance themselves by dating white women. This has been all over the news recently. Is that the kind of atmosphere that you're familiar with there at the Orange County District Attorney's Office?
No, Ed. That's outrageous. It's shocking. It's abject racism, and it's got no place in our criminal justice system. Let me make very clear that the dedicated line prosecutors in that office, the dedicated public servants, are doing a great job of trying to keep things together. But they've got no leadership at the top. We've got a politician and a showman at the top, and Orange County needs real leadership, not showmanship. That kind of racism, of course, has no place in our justice system. In this country, I want to make this clear to Orange Countyans and the rest of the country. In this country, we judge people in the criminal justice system on evidence and facts, not on the color of their skin. This was extremely troubling that Todd Spitzer took the race of the defendant and the race of the women that may have dated into account in deciding whether the state of California should seek to put this man to death. It's just incredibly troubling all the way around.
And he's being he blew the case by doing that, in essence, right? He blew the chance of it being a death penalty case. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, and it appears that he lied to the court. The news came out yesterday that he lied to the court. That is a felony under state and federal law, and I'm interested to see how this develops. Everyone, regardless of what color your skin, what kind of uniform you wear to work every day, everyone should be held accountable. And if Todd Spitzer broke the law, he should be held accountable. But yes, absolutely, it jeopardized this case. I mean, look, we've got sort of a chest-thumping, tough-on-crime prosecutor who likes to stand up and say that he's going to seek the ultimate punishment whenever we have these horrific crimes. But the reality of it is that he's sabotaging those very cases, right? He, in this case, had to take the death penalty off the table because he had made these horrible remarks. He lied to the court, apparently, saying that he took the death penalty off the case because the defense had made a compelling presentation. When apparently emails make it very clear, and I have yet to see these, but emails make it very clear that Spitzer took the death penalty off the table in order to avoid his racist remarks coming to light.
Right. And by lying to a judge, you say that's a felony. Is that something that the incoming district attorney and possibly you would have to investigate?
Yes. I mean, it's something that law enforcement should investigate, it's something that the court should focus its attention on. And like I said, I'm just interested to see how this will develop. I hope that he will be held accountable just as equally as everybody else.
Okay. Tracy Miller, who oversaw the court office and felony fraud units for over 25 years, she quit partly for being belittled, for him belittling and people that were sexual harassment victims. It brings to mind the question, is that a hostile work environment? You say the line employees are doing a great job, but is it a hostile work environment there?
Absolutely. That's what I'm hearing. And let me also just make clear, Ed, that Tracy Miller didn't quit. She was forced out.
Okay.
And that's what her lawsuit is all about. You know, she stood up for the victims of sexual harassment perpetrated by the best man at Todd Spitzer's wedding, a man that he called his best friend, a guy named Gary LaGalbo, who Todd Spitzer knew very well was a guy who was known to sexually harass women in the office. When allegations of Gary's sexual harassment of women, including an underage intern in the office, came to light, instead of holding him accountable, Todd Spitzer promoted him and then allowed him to quietly retire with top flight benefits,
right,
instead of facing the music. Tracy stood up for the victims of sexual assault in that case, and she faced reprisals for it from Todd Spitzer. And one of the most interesting things that is coming to light about in her lawsuit is something that occurred around what's called the GRIP program. GRIP stands for Gang Reduction Intervention Program. And this is a program that Tracy was very instrumental in creating in the first place and has nursed all these 25 years and turned it into an incredibly successful program. And it's sort of her baby in the office. And it's been shown to reduce gang activity in youths across Orange County. And one of the things that Todd Spitzer did in retaliating against Tracy Miller, so she alleges in her lawsuit, is he threatened to gut that program to spite her.
Right.
You know, here you have a district attorney again who talks real tough on crime, but it's never really about community and public safety for him. It's about his own political image and advancement. He's willing to gut a program that successfully reduces crime activity in order to spite somebody else and at the cost of public safety.
And he operates the office, it would seem, with a hubris that he's untouchable.
Absolutely.
Okay. And in this office that requires absolute confidence from the community and from the people that work within it, how did this happen? And I'll go back to a question I was going to ask you at the top that you and I spoke 5 months ago, a little over 5 months ago. What's happened to crime since then?
Sure. So much has happened in the last 5 or 6 months since we've spoken, Ed. Crime in Orange County is really growing out of control.
Right.
Crime in every category across the board is up by double digits. Homicides in Orange County have reached a 23-year high. Not since the 1990s, Ed, have we seen homicides like this in Orange County. It's scary.
Right.
What's happening? Homelessness is also up over 40%. Clearly, you know, the policies that this district attorney has in place are not making us safer. And the scandals in the office are of course, not making us safer.
Right.
And to your point about, you know, public trust, Ed, look, the criminal justice system is one of the central, pillars of our democratic government in this country. And I think for any democratic institution to succeed and thrive, people have to have trust in it. And in order to have trust, you've got to have transparency so people can see what's happening. And you know, not only does Todd Spitzer operate that office as a black box, we have no idea what's happening. An ACLU report actually just came out yesterday on that very issue of lack of transparency from the office. But, you know, it's also clear that he is judging people based on the color of their skin rather than facts and evidence. That, of course, doesn't lead people to have a sense of trust in the system, particularly communities of color and disadvantaged communities. And that further perpetuates sort of inequality in our county and in our country. And we've got to do something about that.
I need to add right here to the audience that I've reached out to the DA's office in the last several weeks about 4 or 5 times. No response, no reply to get them in, no comments at all, which goes to the black box and the lack of transparency.
Yeah.
How do you address, on day one, let's say, okay, you win the election on day one, how do you address morale within the office itself? And is there, do you defend against poison pills like a guy like Sean Nelson? Does a Sean Nelson stay in place there?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. That's a no-brainer. No, Sean Nelson would, but he wouldn't stay in place either. Okay. I mean, he would be the first to say, he would move on, I suspect.
Right.
He came in as Spitzer's right-hand guy, and he would move on with Spitzer. He's running for judge, and so we'll see how that turns out. But
would there be poison pills that he could leave in the office? Are there poison pills, if you will?
I don't think there are.
Okay.
You know, as I look around that office, I see a lot of terrific people who need real leadership. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of terrific people that I have a lot to learn from. And I think we have a lot to teach each other. So, you know, how do you address morale? I think one of the first steps is to create a cabinet and a leadership team throughout the office comprised of the incredible leaders that already exist at the office. We need to restore trust in the professionalism and discretion. That's a key word that will perk up all the ears of folks in that office and in the criminal defense and prosecution world. Their discretion to use the good judgment for which they were hired. Right now, I think a lot of line prosecutors feel hamstrung and they feel scared to make a decision one way or another because they'll you know, cross Todd Spitzer's lines one way or another. But we need to restore trust in their professionalism and discretion. Give them the room to use the good judgment for which they were hired.
Okay. All right. And moving that same question to the public, how do you restore public confidence? And you talked about the black box that he has. What kind of measures for transparency can we expect from you?
Sure. So a good example of this that I like to use is Nick Gerda from The Voice of Orange County. Great reporter.
Yeah.
Did
great publication.
Great reporter. Did a story a while back on the number one most prosecuted crime at the DA's office. And he went to the DA's office and asked, hey, what's the number one most prosecuted crime? They either couldn't tell him or wouldn't tell him, either of which is a problem.
Right.
And it took, you know, thousands of dollars in Public Request Act and months to find out that the number one most prosecuted crime in Orange County is possession of drug paraphernalia, which, you know, has its own set of issues. But how do we restore trust in the system? Well, we make it transparent. So it shouldn't have taken all that time. Nick should have gotten an automatic answer to that. We start tracking these things. We track the types of cases that we're bringing. Where are they concentrated in the county? What's the racial breakdown of the cases that we're bringing? That sort of thing, so that we can answer the public's questions. And by the way, we make all that available on the website. This isn't a day one sort of thing. It's, right. You know, this is going to be a slow transition to that, to making that information public, gathering it all together in the first place. But we restore trust by making things transparent.
I got to tell you, as a member of the press, I'm eagerly awaiting that. Thank you. I'm noticing the correlation that when a college football team, for instance, screws up or violates the rules or gain a crappy reputation. And also what happens the following year is they lose great recruits. Because of the culture in this administration of the district attorney's office, do you think we're missing out on great potential talent that might have gone somewhere else?
Well, first of all, let me say that, you know, before we even get to the recruit part of it, we talk about retaining the talent that we have.
Right.
I mean, there's been a mass exodus.
Right.
Morale is at an all-time low. I hear that from person after person after person. And it's not surprising with the lack of leadership and the showmanship and politics at the head of that office. But yes, absolutely. Look, we need to recruit the top talent. Prosecutors across the country often say it's the best job you can have as a lawyer. And that's the way it should be.
Right.
Prosecutors just have to do the right thing. They explain the facts and the evidence and let them speak for themselves. That's the way the job should be. It should be the best job you can have as an attorney. Right now in that office, I'm afraid it's not. And we do need to change that. And I've certainly got plans to recruit the best folks from law schools around Orange County, around Southern California, and elsewhere. I want to make this one of the best district attorney offices to work at in the country. And we're an incredibly diverse and vibrant community. We're the sixth most populous county in the entire country. We're larger here than 21 states. So we've really got an outsized influence, I think, on criminal justice issues across the country. And looking forward to making this a great place to work.
And with the size of our county, the Office of District Attorney becomes that much more important. It becomes that the responsibility of District Attorney becomes so weighted at that point. Do you feel right now a greater urgency because of every other day there seems to be a negative story coming out of your opponent in the headlines? Do you feel a greater urgency right now?
Absolutely. You know, Orange County is in desperate need of change in this office. Todd Spitzer has got to go. He's facing calls for his resignation from many different people and organizations. he has lost the endorsement. And that's not to say he didn't receive it. He said, I'm saying he had it and then lost the endorsement of the district attorney of every major county in California, as well as a number of other people.
That's unheard of, right?
It's a dire situation. Right. Even district attorneys within his own office have asked to take a vote of confidence and asked him, hey, if you get a vote of no confidence, will you step down and let the Board of Supervisors appoint an interim district attorney? That has never happened in Orange County history. I've never heard of it happening anywhere. Right. But it goes to my point that I often tell people about, which is that, you know, district attorney wields so much power in communities across this country, and they are accountable to no one except the voters every 4 years. And, you know, that takes me to my next point, Ed, which is, look, we got a huge election coming up, folks. June 7 is election day. Ballots are going to be mailed out in less than 70 days. Keep an eye on your mailbox. This is your chance to make a change.
And if you will, with keeping that in mind, speak to the voter that hasn't made a decision yet, that really doesn't read the headlines, it doesn't read the paper, that doesn't know what's happening. Speak to that voter, if you will.
Sure. Let me talk to what keeps us all up at night, public safety. You know, we're all living here while raising our families here. I'm raising my family here. This is my home, and I'm concerned that crime is growing out of control. Like I mentioned earlier, in all categories of crime across the board, crime is up by double digits. Homicides have reached a 23-year high here. Homelessness is up over 40% during my opponent's time in office. His policies simply are not working. We need to take a more intelligent approach to criminal justice. Now, look, we can be tough on crime and smart on justice at the same time. The old way of doing business simply isn't working. We need modern solutions to modern problems. I welcome people to check out my website at PeteHardin.com to look at what my positions are. Please reach out if you have any questions, and keep your eye out for community events. This is just too important an office to let go to a corrupt, racist person who puts politics ahead of community safety.
And you mentioned homelessness, and that's heavy on the minds of a lot of our listeners. Specifically, what would you do differently than he's doing now and failing at right now?
Sure. Look, Todd Spitzer's been a politician in this county for over a quarter century, and during that time, he has consistently spoken out against homeless shelters and housing. He is on the Orange County Commission on Homelessness, and there's a Voice of Orange County article on this as well. He's a no-show. Right. He's a no-show to those meetings, and hasn't come up with any proposition. So what would I do differently? Look, I'll be an advocate for homeless folks in our community to get shelters. I do not believe that the streets can be the waiting room for long-term housing. So the immediate need is for shelters so people can get the basic services they need while we figure out how to build affordable long-term housing. But those shelters are a critical component in the middle there, because people need mental health issues addressed. They need addiction services. They need much more simple things, like a place to get their mail. You know, I was at Mary's Kitchen recently in Orange, an incredible place. And one of the things they told me about there was, hey, Pete, this is a place where we can get our mail. So, you know, when the government sends us our checks.
Disability check, whatever it might be.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Or a lot of them are veterans when they get stuff sent to them about appointments. They have a place to receive it and actually get that mail and be able to respond to it. Little things like that are, things that a lot of us don't ever think about and can be an incredibly powerful way to provide services to a community that desperately needs it to get back on their feet.
One more time, give the voters the way to find out more about you.
Sure, it's PeteHardin.com. You can check out my background on there, the Meet Pete section, or check out, you know, Pete on the issues. And please reach out if you have any questions.
Former judge advocate in the U.S. Marine Corps, deputy district attorney, special assistant, the United States attorney, and one of the leading litigators in Southern California, running for Orange County district attorney. Pete Hardin, thank you for being here this morning.
My pleasure. Can't wait to come back.
Looking forward to seeing you again.